to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology here at Cranberry.fm. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Obvious Media, Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing, and we got an exciting show for you today.
Some form of listing, if you work on it now, and I think local search is a place where smaller retailers and maybe people who are sort of like have a combination e-tail/retail setup might be able to, you know, eke a little bit, a few more sales out. And the article that was in Search Engine Land today, written by Julian Connors, Consumer Citations, the Future of Local Search. What do you say we start there?
That sounds like a great place to start and a good article.
Okay, just to explain what citations are, used to be that search engines, especially in local search, were looking for proximity to the search user, and they were looking for topical relevance to what the searcher was looking for. And Google and RankBrain have that down pretty tight now. They know that I live in a certain part of Toronto, and though I'm not allowed to anymore, when I did look for pizza online, that I would want a pizza parlor near my place of residence.
Right.
But again, Google knows all that about me. Not a big deal anymore. What is it that prompts Google to give a strong local recommendation? Citations is apparently where it's at now. So this is like reviews, online customer published content about your good service or shop. And I think, Dave, in the near future, you're going to see local businesses feeling they're living or dying by these reviews, eh?
You are. And, I mean, we saw, and I'm sure you remember, we talked about it on our show. It gets gray in exactly when it was. But I'm just going to go general and go, hey, a couple months ago, when we started seeing in the knowledge graph on the right, you know, for your company name or whatever, them pulling in, showing a variety of different review sources, right? Like going, hey, they've got, 4.5 out of 5 on Facebook. They've got, and pulling in. And it was interesting where they were pulling different things for different niches. But it's really, really clear that, yeah, this is absolutely critical. Now, the caveat to that, as you know, and we've all seen this before, is there's actually laws around the black hat stuff you can do in this area, and Google's really good at it. So you actually just have to figure out where the reviews for your niche matter and then make sure you're there, right? So and that is going to be difficult, and make sure that you're getting those reviews and finding ways to get your customers to place those reviews. It's going to be a really, really interesting and super important, to me anyway, sort of subset of SEO again. I mean, it's already one. How do you get reviews of your business and positive reviews and engage your clients? I mean, we all know that, but I think this article is spot on. This is not just relevant now, but it's the future. And it's going to become increasingly important.
Yeah. Now, it's when we talk about reviews, we got to remember this. This is a double-edged sword. This is a bit of a double-edged sword in that negative reviews can impact a business quite badly. And all it takes is one. It takes one pissed off customer to give a terrible review, and your 4.5 stars goes down to, say, 3.5.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but this is really funny, because I'm on search all the time, and I'm affected by customer reviews. I will likely go to and trust a business that has stronger reviews than one that has crappy reviews, even mm-hmm. though I know full well that there's a lot of negative SEO happening out there around reviews.
Right. Right. Well, it is. You're right. I mean, and it's the catch me too. But you've probably gotten pretty good at spotting them. Like I have. I mean, we can more quickly recognize where it isn't relevant to what my needs are, right? It's some past employee who's ranting about this. I've got a client who's dealing with that right now. And it's like, that's actually not relevant to whether they're providing a good product to you. Like whether what you're going to get is what you want. So.
No, in fact, on one of the teams I work with, I've got two people whose job it is every couple of hours, you've got to go check Yelp. You've got to go check, the knowledge graph of Google, you got to go check Google Plus, and I need to know if any negative reviews have come up.
Right. Yeah, it is very relevant. Obviously.
Well, and that's how, but I'm actually experiencing this problem with what is kind of like a flame war where somebody who's disgruntled with one of my clients is flaming them in the reviews. They're doing this on purpose.
Right.
And that has had an effect on the visible search results. Using Schema, you can get you can have the number of stars, the number of positive or negative reviews from your Google local listing appear in search results, which is wonderful. That differentiates you from all the other competitors, right? It looks great on the search engine result page. Yep. It looks even better when you have at least 4 or more out of 5 stars, but it starts looking pretty crappy when you only got 3 or 5 stars.
Right.
So it's a double-edged sword. Completely, completely important to getting those local rankings, which you need right now. But I think it also sort of becomes a tail wagging the dog experience where, again, on one of the teams I'm working with, I have two of their staff members constantly checking for negative reviews.
Right. And it makes sense to do. But I mean, there can be positive ways of doing it. And I'll go, you know, in addressing negative, and I'll speak from experience here. I had purchased a set of Bluetooth headphones off Amazon. They got shipped to me. They lasted about 2 months and then they broke. Like they just absolutely stopped working. And I kept them in their case. I kept them, you know, I only put them on when I was running. So the company gave me an exchange on them, you know, that was under their warranty. They sent me one. The next set died. Like the battery wouldn't charge like 2-3 days after use. The battery just wouldn't charge at all. So I was done. I shipped this thing back for a refund through Amazon. I posted my review basically going, they worked great when they worked, but then they died. You know, here's my two experiences, gave them 1 star. Anyway, I got an email. They tracked me down. I got an email from the company basically going, we have a new version of this. We want you to try this thing out. We're just going to send it to you absolutely free. And it would be great if you could review it if this thing works. So I got them about a month ago, and they're like, do you mind updating your review? Do you like them? And I'm like, I'm going to wait and make sure this battery's working. But fortunately for them, they were dealing with a marketer. I'm like, but I will get this to you. I will get the review in by Black Friday if it's still working. It was working as promised. I'll get that in for you by Black Friday. It was. They're great headphones, and they turned a 1 star to a 5 star. And it probably cost them, like, what's the manufacturing cost of a set of Bluetooth headphones, right? It probably cost them, like, $5 to turn a 1 star into a 5 star review, because the new ones are actually far superior to the old ones. So, you know, it's great. So there are ways to do that. You know, whether you're a restaurant, whether you're whatever your product is, there are ways of turning that, as long as you're not just dealing with a jerk. But if you're actually dealing with a problem scenario, there are ways of turning those things around. And that's going to be increasingly important to start thinking outside the box and going, what do we have to do here? And what's it going to cost me to turn that into, you know, a 1 into a 5? In their case, it cost them like $5 plus shipping, right? And that turned a 1 to a 5. That's well worth every penny on their end, I'm sure. And I would buy their product again when this one does die, as long as it's, you know, a year from now or two.
Well, I'm not sure what to say about that, except how many customers do they have to appease like that? It costs them $5 for you, but if there was like 500 customers with a similar problem, there's $2,500, which, again, is kind of inexpensive advertising, and they've made a bunch of people happy. I just worry about the consumer, not the normal consumer, but as you talked about, the jerk consumer jerking around my client, or businesses, I should say. Primarily, I don't care if they jerk around other people, but my clients don't jerk them around. Anyway, citations is going to be quite important in the near future, especially when we see consumers reacting to those reviews and the ratings that come with such things.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Google's going to be reacting to them too. Moving along. Where do you want to go, Dave?
Let's go to, I'm just going through my tabs. Let's close the one we just chatted about there. I don't know. We could chat fake news. We can cite map files. Okay, one that I'm interested in here. Just so people know, it was a fix in the system of a handy little feature comes to us from, need to mention his name, Barry over at Search Engine Roundtable. Search Console, the update indicator, you know, we've all seen them. Well, anybody's been in Search Console and you look in a variety of the timelines and it'll have like a little line. I've seen it often in my, you know, sort of page numbers and things like that, right? You'll see a line with just the word update. That update button wasn't working. You actually had to go into the code to like dig it out and find out with you, which I also have Barry to thank for knowing that little workaround. You actually had to go into the code and find it. It was a glitch in the system. It wasn't working. Now it is. They fixed the bug. So for our listeners who've never used that, do. So when you're in there, it'll tend to be at times when you'll see, you know, whatever your index pages drop or something out of the blue, and then there'll be this line that says update. If you click it, it will take you onto Google to what was going on, what was being updated, if it is an update. So if you don't see an update line and the update link, that means this is something related to your site. If you see that line and you see the word update and you can click that update, click it and it'll take you to what was going on at Google. For example, did they just refresh their index? Did they experience a bug in their systems? Right? And it just lets users know a little bit more about what was going on at Google at that time to know, is this really your site or is this them? So very, very interesting little thing. And they fixed that bug to make it easy to figure out what's going on. And, you know, good for them, because that was pretty necessary.
Now they just have to get rid of the little popover that I think Gary Ives put in there that reads, "It's your fault. It's all your fault." Somebody needs to work on that.
And did you know it turns out we're weasels? I didn't know.
Oh, man, I've known that for a toot. I've been doing this for 20 years. Yeah. Yeah. Pantless weasels, from what I've read.
Pantless weasels, if you ask Scott Adams. Sorry, that's founder Dilbert for our listeners who don't know who Scott Adams is. But yeah, as it turns out, and this is a game from over at the SE Roundtable. If you go into Google Docs, type in search engine optimization and click the explore feature, apparently we're related to weasels. The word weasels, it is tested. That is indeed it. I can only imagine that it's due to the web showing these two things in connection with each other, maybe because of Scott Adams, maybe because people are just referring to black hats or whatnot. But it's just a humorous little thing. I'm sure it'll be fixed pretty soon, but or not. But anyway.
Actually, I think it is an interesting thing that's indicative of how, you know, Google does make relations between different concepts. Search engine optimization and pantless weasel have been used in the same sentence since that cartoon was first published, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, it was the intern, Asok, who was getting into search engine optimization, and the guy he hired happened to be a pantless weasel.
That's right.
Because that cartoon got published and the phrase got popularized with SEO, I think Google has made a natural and, you know, in this case, somewhat mistaken, but natural relation between the two, because it's found the two in the same sentence over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be right.
It might be actually that leads to a couple of interesting experiments that might be, you know, worth pulling off. you know, like Google Engineer, having that relate to something like, I don't know, Giraffe Goof or something like that.
Just for a test. You know what? That'll be something that's right up. We need to get Rand involved because that's right up his alley of stuff to do at like MozCon or something. He does it every year, right? Goes, okay, now we're going to try this, and gets like 2,000 people simultaneously doing an action just to see what happens.
That's power, isn't it?
It's funny, actually. It was a couple years ago, actually brought down a site that he liked. Like, just by, it wasn't built to have 2,000 people all of a sudden simultaneously going to it. And it knocked out their site. But anyway, I don't know. Do we have time for another story, or do we have to go to commercial break so that we can bring Jim and Ann on?
There's one more I want to touch really quickly, and then we got to get to commercial break because I really want to get Jim and Ann on, but. This was actually a couple of days ago, November 28th, also from Search Engine Roundtable by Barry Schwartz. Google Search Console has changed submit to index to request indexing. So, you know, when you're in Search Console, you got a page that you've been working on. It's a newer page. You want to get it into the index. You used to be able to actually submit a page to Google's index.
Yep.
And it would go render the page, tell you that the page had been rendered. It could tell you it'd been rendered in desktop. It'd tell you it'd been rendered in mobile. Doesn't work that way anymore. Now you're requesting the index.
You know, it's funny. I hadn't read the story and then went in earlier today, had a new blog post, and it updated the canonical on another one and went in to do it. And I'm like, well, okay, that's new. Saw the same thing. I'm like, did not know. Still seemed to work the same. I submitted the new blog post that we had done, and then immediately checked, and within a minute it was indexed. So they were treating it the same, but I think they're going with a request, and semantically speaking, probably a, we've seen you do this before and we don't trust you, right? Like if you're a low priority site, and they've got other sites in front of you, that does give them a little more wiggle room.
Well, you know, you're probably right, Dave. I thought they were just being passive aggressive. Okay. On that, it's about 20 minutes past the hour here on Webcology on Cranberry.fm, and we have Waiting in the Wings. We got Jim Boykin and Ann Smarty from the Internet Marketing Ninjas. So before we can get them on, we got to take a break here on Webcology. So on behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Edge of Digital Always Media. You've been listening to you are listening to Webcology on the 1st of December 2016, and we're back with Jim Boykin and Ann Smarty after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology will be back after this short break.
Is your website hacked? Is your website displaying error messages or loading slowly? Even if there are no signs of malicious activity, your site may still be compromised. Websites, like cars, require regular maintenance to perform at their best and not leave you stranded. At Fjorge, our website maintenance experts can help you assess which one of our maintenance plans will best support your needs. Visit fjorgedigital.com or call 612-877-3840 and get the support and protection your website and business deserve. That's fjorgedigital.com.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to ebrandswithaz.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
Do you have cold, hard cash burning a hole in your pocket? Let Cranberry Radio lighten your load. Just hand us that burdensome dinero, and we'll get you set up with your very own radio show. We produce, edit, and amplify the show. All you have to do is show up. It's time for you to make an impact. We're glad to help. Just hand over the cash. Space is limited, so contact us now at sales@cranberry.fm.
Where affiliate marketing gets its buzz and mobile has its presence. Cranberry Radio, online anytime at cranberry.fm.
Takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology here on Cranberry.fm. It's the 1st of December, 2016, and Dave and I are so happy to welcome to this show. Welcome back, Ann Smarty. Welcome back, Jim Boykin from the Internet Marketing Ninjas. We are going to be talking about links, and we're going to be talking about 2017. But first, Ann and Jim, welcome here.
Hey, 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 rock and roll.
Hey, lucky to be here.
You are two of my favorite people in the industry. I've been excited to get this show underway for a couple of weeks now. We got so much to cover, and unfortunately, so little time to cover it in. Let's just dive right in.
Let's do it.
Jim, the first question is going to have to go to you. You have been the Wizard of Links for as long as I've known you. I don't even remember when we last spoke. I think it was in this hotel room, like, 2 years ago, with an apple core in our hands. What has changed in the world of link acquisition, link building, and, you know, getting amazing rankings through link acquisition, link building since we last spoke?
Well, what's changed? Well, there's been the Penguin update, and the Penguin update, of course, has to do with backlinks. So if you get backlinks that are poor in the eyes of Google, if you did some automated link building or you bought some shady links or you did anything that kind of fits patterns with Google, then Google will penalize you for those bad backlinks. So, you know, backlinks being, if you're concerned about ranking in Google and how much traffic you get from Google and, you know, looking to get more exposure in Google, then links are by far the key. It's the biggest part of the algorithm for how Google ranks websites. So you need other highly trusted sites to link to your site. And Google now, you know, they had several different releases of the Penguin update, which often a lot of people would get penalized on those days. Their latest update, which was, you know, a month or two ago, it was fairly recently, changed how Google penalizes sites for bad links, where it used to be if you had bad backlinks to your site, they would penalize your entire website. And what they're doing now with backlinks is if you have bad backlinks, they'll penalize either a specific phrase or a specific page. So I guess, you know, what has happened with Google, they've gotten a lot better at identifying link networks, private blog networks, a lot of things that are artificial. And so, you know, there's still a lot of people that they're afraid to do anything to proactively get links to their website for fear of doing something that could get them in trouble, which oftentimes when people are trying to be proactive with link building, they are doing things that could get them in trouble. But I guess what's changed is Google's continuing to get smarter with realizing what is a real vote for your site. What is a real link? What is a real citation versus something that is automated or artificial or paid or otherwise something that violates Google's guidelines. So I guess, you know, it's part of it is Google is getting smarter with analyzing backlinks. So what has changed in link building is, you know, how do I say, you know, unless you have a site to throw away or a site that you're willing to risk a penalty, you know, you don't want to do anything that could get your site in trouble. And so, you know, you need to be doing things to get those real citations, things that aren't, in a sense, tricky, which, you know, goes to creating linkable assets on your website, like creating things that are worthy of someone else mentioning, you know, whether it be really informative blog post or other type of educational articles, but creating great content and getting natural links from real places that are trusted.
Well, let's just back us up for a second. If I remember correctly, when Penguin was first introduced, bad links get an entire domain squashed. And we saw a lot of businesses, small businesses, who had somehow fallen into a bad link trap by their own behavior or by mistake or whatever. Now, as I understand it, Google's being very selective where they're applying that, for want of a better word, penalty. Instead of going for an entire domain, they'll just take a specific URL, like a specific page, or they'll ignore those links entirely. Is that correct?
Pretty much, yes. You know, it's interesting when, you know, prior to this last update that Google had, where they rolled in the Penguin update into their core algorithm. But prior to that update, disavow files were very popular, where you would look through all your backlinks and you'd separate them into two lists. These are good and real and natural backlinks, and these are artificial backlinks. And you would submit the artificial or non-real backlinks to Google and tell Google, hey, don't count these. And now what Google is saying is not all sites necessarily need to do that, that Google, quote unquote, is smart enough to figure out what's a good or a bad link. And instead of penalizing the whole site, if they, you know, see that you're bringing in a whole bunch of targeted text with one exact phrase from shady websites, they may just penalize you for that phrase, or they may just penalize for that page, which is different than how they were doing it. Because, you know, prior to this recent update, if you had bad backlinks going into your site with one particular phrase going into one particular page, they would hammer your entire site. Your entire site would not rank for anything.
So I'm going to fire a question at Ann here, just because we're talking links. I want to talk a little bit about content. And of course, these things blend, you know, together. And Ann, I know a lot of your startups had to do with content and as they tie to links. So let's go that route. I'm looking ahead to 2017. You can't just go with a build it and they will come. And the level of content on the web is increasing as we're all fighting over these links that we want to get in the social signals and just producing, you know, good content for our visitors. What do we do? We're looking ahead to 2017. How do we try and figure out what to do in the area of the content we should be adding? And Jim mentioned that's what we need is good, high-quality content. How do we figure out what to do with that?
Well, the first thing is to actually have the strategy. There are too many businesses who create content just because their competitors do. They have no idea what they are doing, why they are doing, what they are doing for. So, the focus is on in-depth content, really, really in-depth. Like you cannot now create 300 word article and expect to rank with it or have any backlinks to it or anything like that. You should be creating, the content that tackles different angles of the concept and maybe have a separate section with all the tutorials and stuff like that. I've read the cool case study by SEO by the Sea maybe a few months ago. And Bill was talking about how he changed his optimized SEO optimized article to something in-depth talking about the history of the concept, the popular people, the places, and all that on one page, and how it suddenly started ranking and attracting links, because if the page ranks, it will attract links too, so it's kind of virtual circle. Another thing is to breed in-house experts so that there are no names that could attract links just because they wrote something. Whenever someone you know in the industry writes something, there will always be backlinks from roundups, from interviews, from things that create regular and popular content. I guess those are two really, really important things to do right now. Create experts in-house and create really, really in-depth content.
Okay. Anne, if I could just clarify what you were saying. You mentioned Bill Slosky, SEO by the Sea, writes an article. Now, if Bill writes an article, I'm linking to it because Bill's a genius.
Yes.
Are you suggesting you should have someone like Bill on staff, a known name, somebody who's got a reputation, who is going to attract those links because of his or her name?
Both. I would say it's both. So you do have an expert, maybe not just as huge as Bill, because that's not possible. But a well-recognized
expert. No, he can work for anyone.
But a well-recognized expert that would create content for your site and have that name linked to your site.
Yeah, you see, yes. There's too many sites that they have a blog that they put on their site because someone told them long ago, hey, you need to always be producing fresh content. And so they're like, all right, a blog and you know, someone's blogging two or three times a week. There's no engagement on it. There's no name. Citations or links. And, you know, when we talk about authorship, you know, if Google sees that, hey, there's a writer for your website and this writer, you know, this past year has produced, you know, 300 articles and those 300 articles hardly got any signals to them, no links, no social signals, possibly comments, then Google in a sense is going to be like, well, they have a writer for their site, but their writer writes lots of stuff and hardly any of it gets any signals to it. So most of what they write is crap in the eyes of Google. And, you know, most people have authors on their sites or blogs where they're just, it's not getting any traction. And those authors probably have very small scores. I mean, an author score to Google has to do with how many documents has that person authored across the web? How many other sites have cited that person's content? How trusted are the sites that are citing that content? And are there other known authors to Google that are citing this person's content? And how trusted are those people? And so, you know, you just don't want to be writing for the sake of writing. You want to be writing stuff which is going to be engaging and that people are going to link to. And like Ann said, it's not a 300-word story either. And a lot of people, they get authorship wrong. They don't understand it nor the value of it. And that's part of the future of links also has to do with authors and Google, not just mapping links, but mapping the index of people and how people are connected and how authors are connected. And, you know, another big part that I should throw in about the future is clicks, how people click is a big part of the Google's algorithm. A lot of rank brain, in a sense, has to do with clicks. People clicking on search results, what are people doing on pages? The user experience is really big. So, you know, in order to get ranked, you need great links and great content. And in order to stay ranked, you need to have a really good user experience.
Well, I imagine you must have clients like the scenario I'm about to outline. You've got a great writer. They know their stuff, but they just can't seem to get noticed. They're in, you know, maybe some industry that, you know, just not a heck of a lot of outside interest. What would you recommend? You know, they're a good business. And again, this is a great writer, but no one's noticing. What should they do?
Well, they have to be proactive in trying to get mentioned. And let me turn it over to Anne on ways to be proactive.
Well, the first step is social media, of course. That's the easiest way and something that doesn't require huge budgets or anything. You just become active on social media like Twitch chats or Facebook groups and all those things that people communicate with each other. Those two are really powerful. Just find relative Twitch chats and start participating, or find niche influencers and start talking to them, answering their questions, participating in what they are doing, and you'll be noticed in a few months.
Yeah, you know what?
Not just, I mean, I don't mean building huge expertise, but getting noticed is not that difficult even now with all the buzz going around. It's still, when you put in effort, you will do that. Or local events is also a good way to get noticed and have your name there, out there too, in the announcement and things like that. You know, local events.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that think if we create it, if we write it, they will come. And it's not always that case. You know, if you're a Bill Slosky or something, yes, that's the case. But if you're not that super well-known person, or you're trying to become that super well-known person, then, you know, depending on what you're trying to promote or get mentioned or get linked, the tactics could vary as well. If I'm, you know, I don't know, if I'm working for a site that sells swimming pools and swimming pool supplies, then I have to think of, all right, what are the things that I can write that are going to be worthy of other people mentioning? And one of the things that I could write is maybe some kind of guide to child safety around swimming pools. And if I write a great guide and cite great things and have great tips, then what I might do is I might do some research to be like, what are other sites on the web that are linking to this type of trusted content, you know, and I might even look at schools and teachers and orgs and K-12s and like do some research for, well, you know, what are other pages on the internet that are linking to this type of content? Can I write to them and say, hey, you know, I've got a little kid and was researching pool safety. You've got a great page that references some good stuff. Hey, I found this other really cool page about pool safety. I think you should add it to your page to help out your users as well. So sometimes it's not as much, how do I say, you can get a lot further with creating content or other things if you specifically go out and promote it. You know, and if you, say, wrote that page about pool safety, you know, and if you got a couple of other websites to link to that article is now going to rank higher. You can pick up some natural links over the time. And if you're getting trusted links to that article, in turn is going to help you, your site, to be more trusted than your competitors in the eyes of Google. And thus you're going to start ranking higher for more phrases as well, because your site's going to be more trusted. I mean, that's the big thing with Google, is your site needs to be more trusted than the competitors in the eyes of Google. And one of the biggest things that Google looks at is your backlinks. And so, you know, you can't be like, hey, I'm a pool supply company and, you know, there's nothing that I can write. You know, it's like you have to open up the box a little bit and be like, all right, you know, or stretch the box and think outside the box and be like, all right, what are some related things that we can write about? And then not only write about them, but at first you might have to reach out to other people. I mean, we reach out to different reporters and influencers and other people that are talking about these topics. And not only do we create content or an infographic or a quiz or something, we then go out and promote it to those people that are likely to share it.
Yeah, and you can ask for quotes, and then ask those when publishing those quotes, we can reach out back to those people and say, hey, we've featured you, why don't you share it? And that usually results in many natural backlinks, because people share their content and their influencers, so people follow them and they reference that in their articles too.
Yeah, it's often not enough just to create the great content. You can get a lot further, a lot faster by promoting it.
Okay. I know Dave is itching to get a question in, but Dave, I'm sorry. Do you have any time? We've got to take a break here on Webcology on Cranberry.fm, but we are going to be back in a few moments with Jim Boykin and Ann Smitty from Internet Marketing Ninjas. So on behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Head of Digital Media. You are listening to Webcology on Cranberry.fm for September 2016. We're back after these messages.
And don't move. Webcology will be back after this short break.
Do you look look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Do you have cold, hard cash burning a hole in your pocket? Let Cranberry Radio lighten your load. Just hand us that burdensome dinero, and we'll get you set up with your very own radio show. We produce, edit, and amplify the show. All you have to do is show up. It's time for you to make an impact. We're glad to help. Just hand over the cash. Space is limited, so contact us now at sales@cranberry.fm.
Are you paying too much for your paid advertising, or have you quit altogether because it seemed like a huge waste of money? Studies show that companies waste 25% of their PPC spend on average. The web marketing experts at WMETraining.com can show you how to make your AdWords account a lean, mean, converting machine. Whether you're just starting out or want to take your skills to the next level, we have a class for you. Contact the web marketing experts at WMETraining.com.
Pick out some new favorite podcasts now at cranberry.fm.
Is your website hacked? Is your website displaying error messages or loading slowly? Even if there are no signs of malicious activity, your site may still be compromised. Websites, like cars, require regular maintenance to perform at their best and not leave you stranded. At Fjorge, our website maintenance experts can help you assess which one of our maintenance plans will best support your needs. Visit fjorgedigital.com or call 612-877-3840 and get the support and protection your website and business deserve. That's fjorgedigital.com.
More refreshing talk radio on air and on demand 24/7. Only on Cranberry Radio.
Webcology takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology here on Cranberry.fm. It's the 1st of December, 2016, and we're joined by Jim Boykin and Ann Swiney from the Internet Marketing Ninjas. And Dave, I could hear you across the continent wanting to get a question, so bro, go for it.
Yeah, you know what, it was great, because I had a question in mind, and then Ann, you started to touch on it, and I was like, okay, that's a great segue, and then we had to go to commercial break. So we were talking about getting quotes and sort of how do you get in when you're maybe not a notable name. And we're just going to keep using Bill Slosky on the show, I guess, as the example of that. So, I mean, as far as that, I mean, we've all been there, right? We've all started our careers, you know, and not been a name that anybody would know anything of and couldn't do those pitches or make requests. So, what do you do? I mean, quotes are a great one. What do you think of things like interviews? And are there other ways you can sort of get in and sort of piggyback off of bigger names, trying to make that initial sort of splash in the pond to get noticed?
So the actual first thing to do is to identify those influencers and join their communities. That's probably first thing I would start doing, because That's how you get noticed by them, right? You don't just reach out to them from nowhere. I'm sure they have lots of pitches like that asking you to contribute or anything. So they would reply to you and they would be willing to help you if they know you. So just start participating and start. When I was starting, the bee community was the biggest community was Moz. That's where I started. So I just started commenting and writing articles and sharing. And boom, 2 months and everyone knew me and I could reach out to anyone asking to for quotes, for links, for mentions, for anything that I would. I was willing to do, and I started wrote articles and got references from those people I knew from that community. So just start being part of the niche community. And I know it would be difficult in many industries, like Jim mentioned, the pools, niche
swimming pools.
Yeah, it's a tough one. So I'm pretty sure you can start by joining parenting and safety. And
yeah, I mean, I remember even we did, and you remember that time we did one of the months we did, we identified influencers for a bunch of the clients and we went into one of their top influencers for each client. And we, there was like one of the guys, Robert Hershva, or the guy from Shark Tank, Robert. He was one of the influencers for one of our guys. And I think another one was Martha Stewart for another one of our clients. And we took a quote from each one of those. We did like a really nice quote, put it on a picture with a nice background, and had like, you know, a quote from that person, tweeted it out, tagged that person. Both those people mentioned it as well on their Twitter accounts. You know, that's some of the things to kind of get their attention, some happy birthdays and cards. And yeah, the other ways is there's another way as well to get some.
So really, you can't go wrong playing a celebrity's ego.
I don't think so.
No.
Beyond the Martha Stewarts and the Robert Hershevics, what constitutes an influencer in an industry?
People with following, and with not just following, but with real following. People who listen to them, interact with them. Follow what they say and retweet, reshare what they're saying. People who have real sites with real activity on them, with real in-depth discussions or sharing. It's not in many industries, it's not going to be much as stewards, much smaller people, maybe with much smaller following audience, not from TV, but still people who can influence anyone, at least a little community would be a good choice.
And some of the metrics that you can look at as well are, for example, like clout scores, to see how much of an influencer that someone is. So if you've made a list of all the top names within your industry, you can look at the clout score or even search clout as well for different types of phrases or industries.
Or just Google.
Sorry, Anne.
Yeah, what I was doing is just Googling those names, and you will see so much. Like, some people have books at Amazon, some are influencers on some niche forums, some would have some small events or conferences on their own, hosting like some monthly or yearly events with people coming to them and speaking there and stuff. So all kinds of signals of influence. They are all different in different industries, but just Google those names and you will see how active they are in the industry, what they are doing, what they are authoring. And Google is using all of that too. And I remember some of their guidelines, the Google Raiders guidelines, also mentioned that if you see an author on the page, try Googling it. Just search it on Google and see on the spot what that person is up to.
Okay, time marches on for all of us, and I'm afraid time is marching on the show. We have to start looking towards 2017, and one of the things, at least in my career in SEO, has always been trying to predict where the ball is going to be 6 to 12 months from now. Definitely one of the themes of this show is, you know, you want to know where Google wants you to be, look at what they're doing now. Jim and Ann, what do you see coming in the future in 2017?
Jim?
You know, I think a lot about usability. You know, as far as what's going on in the future and what are tips that people could do to make their site more friendly, specifically in the eyes of Google, and, you know, and how Google ranks things, you know, beyond the content and links, how people use your site. You know, are you just creating a simple resource, or are you creating the ultimate resource for whatever page that you're creating? You know, if you have the ultimate resource that answers everyone's questions that could possibly come to that page, that's going to win. I think that user behavior is getting more and more, I believe, put into the algorithm. You know, if you algorithmically should rank, you know, number three for some phrase, but a lot of people that go to your page are just returning to Google and going to other people, or, you know, they're on your page for a bit and maybe even a couple pages, but they're still returning to Google. Those are just that those results are going to get pushed down the page. So I think usability and Google looking at how people are interacting with pages, you know, of course they have Chrome, which is about, you know, half, a little over half of all the browsers out there. So there's a lot of data that they can pull from there. But I think usability and how people are using the site and just making sure that you have the ultimate resource. And it's not just about links and content. I think the usability is playing a bigger and bigger role. And, you know, the things that people are doing when they reach your content. And
talking about usability, mobile experience. I've seen so many updates. All the recent updates from Google and Bing News are all about mobile experience. Like you need to make sure your pages are very fast. You need to make sure you don't show any pop-ups or anything for mobile users. They are really, really taking care of their mobile experience and they're addressing it. I guess that's what the 2017 is all about, making sure that your site is really usable, really fast on mobile devices.
You know, I'm inclined to agree with all those statements, and I'm afraid we're out of here. We're done in time here on the show today. 2016 was a momentous year. So much change happened. It was mind-blowing. I hope that 2017 is as exciting for the internet marketing industry. I know you guys had a great year last year. I hope you have a great year next year. And Jim Boykin and Ann Smarty, thank you both for taking the time to join us on Webcology today.
Rock on, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Cheers. Folks, that was the legendary, both legendary, Jim Boykin and Ann Smarty from the Internet Marketing Ninjas. We're out of time here on Webcology this week. We're going to be back next week with a seriously fun show. Dave, who do we got coming on next week?
Next week, no, it is unscheduled right now, but I have a few leads. I'm not going to name names just in case, but it will be on the subject near and dear to us today. It'll be on the importance of users and their role heading into 2017 and what we need to be doing to pay attention to the user metrics that we're sending to Google.
Okay, next week, still to be announced, but we swear to goodness they're coming. On behalf of Dave Davies from Beans Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedgeman, as always, media. Listen to Webcology on Cranberry.fm on or about the 1st of December 2016. Friends, stick around Cranberry. We got some great content coming up after the news. And Dave and I will talk to you next week. Be well.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Cranberry News Marketing and Cranberry.fm. Rebroadcasts or retransmission of this content without proper consent is prohibited.